Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Hope you dads have a great day. I'm not in favor of Father's Day, actually. I believe in Father Month or Year or something. Mother's Day is fine, but Father, I don't like limiting it to a day. Great story coming out of the great state of Texas. Great summertime vacation story. True story. It was a dad. They were headed out on vacation, rented a big RV, had his family, another family in the RV, and they left about 5 o'clock in the evening. He was going to drive through the night, and the deal was whenever he stopped, whenever they needed gas, he was going to switch drivers, and he was going to go back and go to bed, and the other guy was going to drive. And so he stopped to get gasoline, went inside to pay, came back outside, no RV, gone. And first he thought it was stolen, but then he realized, so the deal was, like I said, the other guy was supposed to drive for him, and the guy got up and saw that the RV was stopped, and he thought, well, he must be in the back asleep, didn't see him anywhere. So he just walked up to the front, got in the driver's seat, took off. So he went inside immediately, and the RV was nearly out of sight, and he calls his cell phone. His cell phone's in the center console in the front. Well, of course, the ringer's off on it, and no one answers. And so he calls his wife's cell phone, which is also in the center console, and she's sleeping in the back. So he calls three of his kids and two of cell phones from the others. Of course, all their ringers are off. And even if they weren't off, they were still getting phone calls from some number they didn't recognize, so they didn't answer it. Why would they be getting a phone call from a service station in the middle of nowhere they didn't even know? So 6 cell phones later, he gets no answer. Finally gets the wild eye, calls the police. The police say, well, they've already driven out of town 30, 45 minutes. They're outside of their jurisdiction, can't pull them over. So he finally gets the bright idea to go in, get on a computer, get on Facebook, and type through Messenger a message to him. And then one of the kids gets up about an hour and a half later and checks their phone and sees they got a message on Facebook from Dad. Dad says, I'm back in so-and-so service station, 100 miles down the road. They turn around and come back and get him. Imagine that. I've heard worse stories, but Dad, we're not going to leave you behind today. I want to speak to dads. We've got a lot of dads here, don't we? I'm a dad. I'm a proud dad of 3 children and 1 extra one, and glad to be able to do my job, also intimidated by it on a regular basis because the responsibilities of it and the expectations God has for us. And I want to speak on that this morning. We hear a lot of Father's Day sermons on what is a good father, but not so many sermons on how to be a good father. The how-to, I think, is lacking. I want to speak to you this morning on the how-to, and I'm grateful for the list that's going to be given to you by a guy by the name of Ray Scott. His compilation of this list, we're going to be fleshing it out for you. Number one thing you can do as a father for your kids is love your wife. Amen, ladies? Number one thing you can do, because we are growing our kids up to be adults. In adulthood, they are probably going to get married. How are they going to know how to be married? They're going to see it in you, Dad. They're going to see it in you, Mom. They're going to learn how a home is supposed to go. Good or bad, they're seeing it in you. So give them a good example. Demonstrate to them how a man should treat a woman in the relationship of marriage, because that is exactly what they're going to do. How should a husband treat his wife? They're learning that blueprint from you as in their lives right now. If you disrespect your wife, your son will carry that into his marriage. If you disrespect your wife, your daughter will expect that in marriage. Follow me? So be careful how you treat your wife. It's extremely important that we love our wives. I tell my girls all the time, you're going to marry somebody like me. And I mean it. I mean, I'm not the greatest person in the world, but I know of a lot worse. And I don't mean redneck, gun-toting, spear-fishing. I mean, it'd be nice to have a son-in-law that I have something in common with. But I mean someone who's dedicated to his wife, someone who loves the Lord, someone who wants to do right, someone who is good to his dad, try to be. Good to his brother, good to others. I want my girls to marry somebody like me. Like I said, I'm not the best, but there's a whole lot worse out there. I want them to marry somebody like me. If we visibly show, listen guys, respect, our sons will treat our wives the same way. Our daughters will not settle for a guy who dishonors them. So it's incredibly, maybe the number one thing that we do is love our wives. You want a stable kids? Have a stable home. Have a stable marriage. I say that from the position of a young man, I guess I'm not young anymore, 48, who was raised in that home that I'm preaching to you about right now. raised with a father who loved his wife and who respected her and who treated her correctly. And I owe so much to that dad today, who's, I called him this morning on the way to church. He did so much for me, so much that I did not have to learn when I got married, that it was just automatic within me because that's what I saw. And that was the experience that I had. And so very grateful for a dad that did that for me. Tells us in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 28, guys, it says, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And I would add, loves his kids, because you're doing so much for them by the relationship you have with their mother. So much you're doing for them. So number one, love your wife. Number two, don't expect perfect kids. You got perfect kids, Willie?
Yes, sir.
You sure do. Mine aren't here, so I can say they're not. There's no such thing as perfect kids. Since you were not perfect, neither will they be. Since you made mistakes, so will they. A lot of times we as fathers, we as parents make the mistake of trying to live our lives through our kids. We made mistakes. We don't want our kids to make mistakes. And that's natural. I mean, I don't want my kids to make mistakes. At the same time, you got to realize, like I said, since you weren't perfect, they didn't inherit perfect genes from you. And so they're going to have their problems and they're going to mess up, and we've got to love them through that process. They aren't going to be exactly what you want them to be. You don't want them to be. You want to raise kids and say, as I tell my kids, you're going to be whatever God wants you to be. One time my son, when he was about 13, says, Dad, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm not going to be what you want me to be. And I had never told. I said, you know, I'm pretty certain of that. But I do want you to be what God wants you to be. You're going to make your own decisions. Our kids do. But we definitely want to raise them to be exactly what God wants them to be. He tells us this in Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not exasperate. Do not frustrate them so that they will not lose heart. Don't expect out of them what you couldn't produce, okay? Don't expect it out of them. Don't expect your kids to be perfect. Number three, enjoy your children. You know, there's good evidence in the scriptures that says we ought to enjoy them. Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Remember that the next time they really get on your nerves. You're to enjoy them. Kids are not something to be ignored, something to be avoided, something that's a burden. Kids are something to enjoy. They're a blessing, it teaches us in scripture. They're a blessing in our lives. We need to enjoy them. We need to spend time with them. Enjoy your kids. Don't fall for the old quality time as opposed to quantity time. You ever notice, you ever try to schedule quality time? It doesn't work. Somebody's moody in the group. You're going to mess the whole thing up. And so what do? As opposed to, you can't make quality time happen. Quality time happens in the midst of quantity times taking place. Our kids understand that time is valuable. They understand that. And so when we don't give them time, what does it say to them? It says they're not valuable. And I think dads, more than anything, out of the father-mother relationship, dads are not near as good at spending time with their kids because we don't really know what to do with them. They need us. They need to be around us. Don't have to orchestrate any kind of quality time necessarily. Just got to be with them. So number three is enjoy your kids. Number four goes right along with that. Spend time with your kids. Give them your attention. Turn off the television. Listen to them. Listen to their crazy ideas, even if it is crazy. But gift their ear and give them yours so that when the time really comes to talk, they will talk to you. There was a report that comes out in USA Today. Studies show that children with involved fathers have lots of advantages. Number one, they are more confident, less anxious with unfamiliar situations, better able to deal with frustrations, involved fathers, children of involved fathers, better able to gain sense of independence, more likely to become compassionate adults, more likely to have higher self-esteem, more likely to have higher grade point averages, more likely to be sociable and friendly, which is, by the way, a premium on jobs because people, even though they're skilled anymore, it seems like they can't get along with anybody else. And so when we involve ourselves with our kids, it changes them. It makes them into something they can't otherwise be. Dads have so much to offer and so much that the kids lose when we don't involve ourselves in our lives, when we don't spend time with them. So number four, spend time with your children. Number five, train your children. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Authority and the understanding of authority, of rules, of boundaries, of consequences is something you have to teach kids. They're not going to gain it on their own. So, guys, we need to expect respect from our children. And we need to earn that respect. You expect respect from your kids, but you're not respectable. You're a bum and good for nothing. It's tough. I mean, but you should respect me, right? You're asking a lot of a kid. Be respectable. Be dependable. How do we do that? Well, several just rules of thumb. Don't make idle threats. Hear dads all the time say, if you don't, I'm going to, but they never do anything. And the kids know that. If you say it, you better mean it. And if you don't mean it, don't say it. Don't make idle threats. Don't fail to follow through. You say these are the consequences. Those are the consequences. They need to learn that. It's very important. The reason why I say this is because this is exactly what's going to happen when they go outside of your house. They go outside of your house and they're no longer under your jurisdiction, Father. They come under the jurisdiction of the ultimate Father. He's going to expect that they understand authority. They understand discipline. When he disciplines them, you're going to want them to listen to him. And if they don't, it's going to be rough. It is. So teach them to respect your authority so that when they're out from under you, they're underneath God's authority, they will respect him and they will follow him. And that's the ultimate goal you have for them. Not that you can sit back and say, oh, my kids respect me. No, that they respect God, that they love him, that they're walking off hand in hand with God. That's the very most important thing that you can possibly do for your kids. Don't make idle threats. Don't make ridiculous rules that don't make sense. If your fathers just make, I found myself saying stuff and then didn't think about it for a minute. That doesn't make any sense. I'm just making that rule because I'm mad. Okay, I got to back down and say, you know, that's a mistake. I'm sorry. That's just dad being mad. And let's back up and make rules that make sense. If not everything can make sense to a kid. But in the bottom line, it has to be explainable. And if it's not explainable, you're just doing something because you can do something. Well, you're going to get rebellion out of your kids, to be sure. So, don't fail to discipline them so that when God disciplines them, they will understand and they will listen. Number six, pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your children. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, look to the Lord, his strength. Seek his face. Always pray. Why? Because fatherhood is not something you can pull off. It's not. It's insurmountable odds. We live in a culture that is counter to things that we're teaching here in church, counter to the things that are right, counter to the things that we used to consider norms and morals and things. Our culture is going against these things, so we have an incredible responsibility. How do you fight against that? Well, bottom line, you can't, guys. Fatherhood is not something you can pull off. God must intervene or you will fail. He must. It's not something you can be smart enough for, strong enough for, trained enough for. Even in my case, I've seen such a great example in my father. Still, it's not enough. It's not enough. God has to intervene in order for us to be the fathers that we really need to be. You will and I will need loads of help to be a father. Can't always be there for your kids. You can't protect them. Hear me carefully. The Bible teaches very clearly that your kids have a supernatural enemy that you are no match for. He's smarter than you, called the devil. He really exists. He is out to get your kids. How do you defeat him? Well, there's no gun big enough. You're not going to be smart enough or fast enough to stop him. So pray, seek God, that God will protect them, that God will deliver them, that God will break away from them relationships that are not good for them, that God will deliver them from situations that are not good for them. Pray, pray, pray. Pray because, like I said, our job is greater than we can actually accomplish. Pray that God will take our well-intended efforts and use them to draw our kids to himself. And finally, number seven, prepare your children. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train your kids. When we prepare our kids, our job is to train them to be adults. Like I tell my kids all the time, you're going to leave. I expect you to leave. We're not raising our kids to stay. We're raising our kids to leave. It's not normal for them to stay. It's normal for them to leave. Get up and go. Get up and make something out of yourselves. training them to be with us? No. We're training them to let go of our hand and take the hand of God. Walk out of our house and walk with God wherever God would have them go, become whatever God wants them to be. That's what we're training them to do. That's our responsibility. Training them to be adults, to walk hand in hand to God. We prepare them for life away from us. We cannot make them make good choices. Boy, we wish we could, don't we? Just push a button. If I were where you were, this is what I would do. The problem with that is when you were where they were, you didn't do any different than they did you? And let's be honest. You cannot make them make good choices, but you can show them how to make good choices. You cannot make them have good priorities, but you can show them the way to have high, good priorities. You cannot make your kids choose heaven. You can't do it. But you can show them the way to heaven. We're to prepare them not only for this life, but also for the next life. That's our responsibility, guys. How do we do that? I've not even been there. I read about it, I study about it, preach about it, but I've not even been there. How do we do it? Only through God. Only through the power of God. Love your wife. Don't expect your kids to be perfect. Enjoy your kids. Spend time with them. Pray for them. Prepare them for the life away from you. Prepare them for a life in which they can be productive and useful and also honoring to God. I want to ask if you would, guys and gals, would you bow your heads with me? You know, we have such a great Father. Our ultimate example is God the Father. And here on Father's Day, we certainly can't pass through Father's Day without considering that very fact. He is our Father. I wonder today, you're here today with some questions in your heart, some needs. I wonder if you wouldn't lift your hand up to the ultimate Father. If you wouldn't bow your heart before Him and say, God, I need your help. If you wouldn't say, as you need to, we all need to, God, I want to put my hand in yours. I don't really understand. Even though we're here talking about fathers and children, the bottom line is we're all children compared to our ultimate Father. I wonder if you wouldn't say to Him today, Lord, I want you to be Father over me. I want to do what you say. I want to submit to your discipline. I want to listen to your voice. Our Heavenly Father is the only one that truly has all the answers. He's the only one that truly knows the way. Will you humble yourself before Him today? God, I thank you for dads. I thank you for the institution of father that you've created, the importance of it. God, I pray that we wouldn't go the way of our society, which basically relegates dads to uselessness or teaches dads to be absent or to avoid their children or ignore them, that belittles the role of fatherhood. God, I thank you for the importance of fathers. And God, I pray that you would instill these principles in us, this need to be the fathers that you've created us to be to our children. But ultimately, Lord, as we've said already, we really can't do this job. It's not apart from your intervention that we can accomplish the job you've called us to of fatherhood. So, God, we're asking you to intervene. We're asking you to protect our kids. We're asking you, God, to help us to use our feeble attempts, God, to turn them into men and women that they're supposed to be, honoring you, walking out and walking away hand in hand with you. What a glorious and wonderful thing. Thank you again for our fathers, God, for the contribution they've made to our lives, God. Thank you for being our ultimate Father. Lord, we lift our hearts and our hands to you. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.